We're here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, yeah? And we started on the top, which is a continuation of the Sugya on Daf Beis Amud Beis of Mansapach. And that was the statement of Rabbi Yirmiya or Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So now the Gemara is going to bring another statement of Rabbi Yirmiya, V'itema Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And the first word in the line is Targum. So let's count down. How many lines from the top is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Okay? Now, we know from general knowledge that the Targum that we have on the Torah, the classical Targum, is called Targum Unkelus. Now, there is another Targum, but the real Targum is Targum Unkelus. What about Nevi'im? So the sukkah here, good morning, is going to discuss the Targum on Nevi'im. And the author of the Targum on Nevi'im is not Unkelus, but rather Yonasan ben Uzziel. Now, did Yonasan ben Uzziel actually write a Targum on the Torah itself, in addition to that of Unkelus? That the Gemara doesn't mention. So the impression you get from the Gemara, as we'll soon see, is that whereas the Targum of the Torah was written by Unkelus, the Targum of Nevi'im was written by Yonasan ben Uzziel.
Just 1 second. Yeah. Remember, yes, we're talking about the Chacham Tzvi.
Yeah. Well, when exactly did he live? Yeah. I thought he was 3.5 centuries ago. Yeah.
He lived in the 17th century. Because Rabbi Yaakov Emden, whose son, he was born at the end of the 17th century. So he lived in the 17th century.
So how many years ago? Would that be about 3 centuries ago, no?
Yeah.
No. Okay, so yeah, I was closer than... They were insisting that was 200 years ago.
No, and Sanders said afterwards, no, he thinks that it was...
I'm not a historian.
But anyway, the
only thing I know about history is because I used to buy antiques firm, you know, first editions. So I would know when it was published. That would give me an
idea.
That's
important.
Again, 99% of the firm were published posthumously.
Right, that's right.
And the fascinating thing is that the Kesef Mishnah, which is 4 volumes in its original, 3 of them were published during his lifetime, during the Machaber of Yosef Karo's lifetime. And you wouldn't believe if you saw the title page what it looks like. That's because they're the Italians. Italian art. You know. Anyway. Because they're published in Venice. Okay. So what do we have here? Targum Shel Torah. Yeah? Is Unkelus Hager Amoral. Now again, why the Gemara has to go out of its way to point out that Unkelus was a ger. This I don't know. The only thing that crosses my mind is that the emphasis on the fact that Unkelus was a ger is either l'shabech sagerim, you know, to give a certain encouragement to gerim that they could play a major role in the Mesoras HaTorah, even though they're gerim. Or alternatively, but this would require a lot more work, that the word ger here in this context puts Unkelus into a very specific category. What do I mean? He cannot serve on the Sanhedrin, because a ger is actually posel adun. The Gemara in Masechet Shavuos derives that from Sukkim. But even though he's posel adun, he still could play a role in the Mesoras HaTorah. So, for example, Shmaya v'Avtalion, right, are listed in the Mesoras HaTorah, the Mishnayos and Ovos. They were gerim, but they didn't participate in the actual vote on the Sanhedrin, and their role on Sanhedrin was sort of like that of an observer. Do you know what I mean by observer? Have you ever heard that phrase? Okay. In any event, so who wrote the Targum on the Torah, which is written in Aramaic, for the benefit of the Hamon Am? Because again, the Torah itself was given in Lashon Kodesh, which that was the Lashon of our forefathers from the time of Eber Anor, from Avraham Avinu's time. But when the Torah had to be interpreted for the benefit of the Hamon Am, so it was translated into the vernacular, which is Aramaic. That's what they know, that's what the Jewish people knew. And that they knew because of Laman HaRami. So, you know, we always ask the question, you know, what is Ayichus? Do we trace Ayichus back to Avraham Avinu? Or do we go back to Laman HaRami? Right, because Laman HaRami, as you know, was the grandfather of Klal Yisrael. And it's very interesting. If you're talking in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, then we trace ourselves to Avraham Avinu. So therefore, we should really be experts in Lashon Kodesh. Just like Avraham knew Lashon Kodesh, we should be knowing Lashon Kodesh. However, if we trace our vernacular, you know, the spoken language, so then we trace it back to another Zeder. But again, you have to pick your grandfather. That's the main thing. So you have a choice: either Laman or Avraham Avinu. Who's your grandfather?
Which one?
Yeah, I hope you're on the Avram side. Okay. Now we're going to see the following. That at the very beginning of Bayis Sheni, Nevuah terminates. Does anybody know who the last three Nevi'im were in the history of Klal Yisrael? I'll give you a hint. The first is called Haggai. Skarim Allah. They were the last three. They lived at the time of Bayis Sheni, but only the early period of Bayis Sheni. Keep in mind that Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years. And Unkelus was way, way later on. So it's very strange, because if you read the Gemara says the following: that Unkelus Hager Amaro, where did he get the translation of the Torah? Yeah, that has to be a Mesiras HaTorah. That has to be a transmission of the Torah in order to translate the Torah. Right, the words of the Torah in Lashon Kodesh could be understood in many different ways. So it says Mipi Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. He got it from two great Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But then, in contrast, Targum Shel Nevi'im, right, the translation into Aramaic of the Nevi'im, again, we don't know about Ksuvim yet, that's going to have to come down the line, is Yonasan Ben Uziel Amoro, Mipi Chagai Zcharia Umalachi. Now, wait a second. This is a little bit problematic, because Chagai Zcharia Malachi, as I said before, we're at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. Yonasan Ben Uziel was a Talmud of Hillel. Hillel Hazaken was at the end of Bayis Sheni. So we're talking about centuries later. So what does it mean when it says that Yonas ben Uziel Amaro, he gave us the Targum on Nevuah Mipi Chagai Zcharia Malachi? That's physically, historically impossible. So the Mefarshim answer that what it means when it says Mipi Chagai Zcharia Malachi, it means an unbroken chain, what we call Ish Mipi Ish, that goes back to the last of the Nevi'im, Chagai Zcharia Malachi. But it wasn't that Yonas ben Uziel actually sat at the footstep at the feet of Chagai Zcharia Malachi. Okay. Now in the case of Unkelus, there, it says that Unkelus received the Mesorah on the Targum HaTorah in Aramaic from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Correct? Now here, it means that Unkelus Hager actually received the Targum directly from Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua. So again, even though the same word Mipi, notice it appears twice, right? In the first line it says Mipi with regard to Unkelus, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, and in the second case Mipi, in the case of Yonas ben Uziel, Chagai Zcharia Malachi. But the word Mipi takes on two different meanings. In the case of Unkelus, the word Mipi means literally he heard it it from the mouth of Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua. In the case of Yonas and Benuzil, it can't even be that he heard it from the mouths of Chagai Ischai and Malachi, because he wasn't alive at the time of Chagai Ischai and Malachi. Now, Rabbosai, what I want to present to you here in the next minute or so is the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua says that this entire sugya that we're learning revolves around really one principle, which is very problematic in this context, and that is Dvarim Shebichsav. I'm sorry, Dvarim Shebal Peh, Iyata Rashoy LaOmer Bichsav. Meaning that you're not allowed to take Torah Shebal Peh and commit it to writing. Now, if that's the case, we have to ask ourselves the following question: Targum, whether it's Targum Shel Torah, Targum Shel Levim, what status does it have? Should we classify it as Torah Shebal Peh, or is it Torah Shebichsav? What would be your knee-jerk response? How would you classify Targum? The Targum is a little bit in what I call the gray area. It's not Torah Shebichsav. It's not classical Torah Shebal Peh the way we learn it. Where would you classify it? Any knee-jerk response at all?
Excellent.
Torah Shebichsav only reflects the actual words of the Torah as they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Lashon Kodesh. Any translation, if you take out an art scroll and you read a translation of the Torah, that's Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, the big question here, and that's what, according to Peshu, this whole sugya is what's underneath the surface here, the sugya, is how did Unkelus commit Targum to writing, and how did Yonas Ben Uziel commit Targum to writing? In the case of Unkelus, Targum of Torah. In the case of
Gemara to writing.
Of Yonas Ben Uziel, Targum of Nevi'im. Yeah.
The same way we committed Gemara to writing.
Oh. So that's called Eis Lasos Hashem Eferis Oseh, correct? Then Rebbe Alpidin had no right to commit the Mishnayos to writing, but he had to violate the Torah for the sake of the Torah itself. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, that's what this sugya is all about. Now, where does the Pnei Yehoshua see this? So take a look at what happens. What was the immediate effect or impact of Targum? It says, Nizdazea Eretz Yisrael Arbamios Parsal Arbamios Parsal. Eretz Yisrael shook to its bootstraps. Yeah, the whole land of Israel was shaking back and forth. We'll see exactly what this Arbamios Parsal is all about. And not only that, but Yotzes of Baskol V'Omro Mihu Zeh. Okay, now here I want to tell you that the Pnei Yehoshua adds, well, I wouldn't say add to, he's not adding two words to the text, but he's interpreting it by adding, and he's saying, Mihu Zeh Shehiter Li'atzmo, that permitted himself the Gila Sisarai Livnei Adam. Okay, so if you read it in that way, then there are two parts to what the Basco was asking or remarking. Number one, Mihu Zeh, right? And the second is Shegila Sisarai Livnei Adam. So I don't know if you could look at your various Torah Shebal Pehs, your translations, and see if you find this in either the Shinantum or in the Artscroll. But what we have here in the Masifta is that the Basco was complaining about two things. Number one, how is he allowed to take Dvarim Shebal Peh and commit them to writing? And number two, how is he allowed to reveal my secret, says God, to human beings? Now, the Pnei Yehoshua says that the secrets that we're talking about are encoded in the Nevi'im. You hear this? Any translation of the Torah is permissible, not only permissible, but it is absolutely recommended. Right? We're obligated to interpret the Torah. But in the Nevi'im, which we'll see later on in this sugya, there are certain chapters in the Nevi'im that are totally... Yeah, they're totally written in a codified form, and the Torah was delivered about that because the Torah was hiding certain things. These are called the secrets of the Torah. Now, obviously, there are secrets of the Torah that are encoded even in the five books of Moses. But at least we have an obligation with regard to every single pasuk in the Torah, not only to interpret it and understand it, but to publicize its meaning. And therefore, this objection on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the vehicle of the Kobasko was directed at Yonasan ben Uziel, not at Uncle. But again, it really depends on where you put the comma. If you're talking about the violation of Dvarim Shebal Peh, yeah, Torah Shebal Peh, Omer B'Ksav, that you're not allowed to commit Torah Shebal Peh to writing, if that's what the Basco was upset about, and keep in mind, Usher, this is way before Rebbe, right? So, you know, we didn't get to Eis La'Sos Hashem Eferes Osecha. Then the Baskel's objection should have been directed not only at Yonasan ben Uziel, but also at Uklis, because Uklis is also Torah Shebal Peh, no less than the Targum of Yonasan ben Uziel. But if you're talking about Gila Sasarai, about revealing my secrets, that objection is directed specifically against Yonasan ben Uziel. Why? Because there are sodos of the Torah that are encoded in Nevi'im. So the Pnei Yeshua writes the following. He says, "Hare matzinu harbe me'atanoim." Even at the time of the Tanoim, we find shegilu sodos haTorah. The Tanoim revealed the sodos haTorah. So why is the Baskel upset and directing all its wrath against something that was classic in the history of Mesoras haTorah to reveal all the secrets of the Torah? That's what, in fact, the Tanoim did. And furthermore, asks the Pnei Yehoshua, Hare Chagai Yizchariah Malachi, they were the ones Shetirgumus HaNevi'im, right? Again, it took a while, Ish B'Pi Ish, until finally reached Yonasan ben Uziel, hundreds of years later. But the original translation and the revelation of what the Nevi'im is all about and how to understand the Nevi'im was given by Chagai Yizchariah Malachi. Lachain, therefore, he says, Kavodas HaGemara, that he wants to say that the thrust of the Gemara is only on Shekosav HaTargum. Oh, so that's what the Gemara is going to ask later on. Why not Uncles? Why is the Baskel yelling at Yonasan ben Uziel and not at Uncles? But not only that, I would ask another question. So then, why does the Baskel say Mi Gila, right? Mi Uzesh Gila Sesarai? According to the Pnei Yeshua, the Tanoim throughout the generations, etc., would reveal the Starim. So why is the Baskel yelling that?
Which
say it again, which one?
Which thing? What, if there are things that you can reveal, and there are things that the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to hear yet.
I guess the Tanoim limited themselves to certain secrets, and maybe Yonasan ben Uziel went too far. He revealed other secrets.
Rishon HaLevi says that it's Mashiach.
Oh, wait, that's the Gemara later on. Rishon HaLevi is only anticipating what's coming up. But right now, you can't let the cat in the bag. Right now, the Gemara doesn't know anything about Mashiach.
And that's
I just want to finish up here.
Is there another discussion of this?
Yeah.
About Yonasan ben Uziel, where it affirms that what he said was
again, there's no question about the veracity, the authenticity. But the question is, was he allowed to do?
That's why I'm just kind of curious if this is discussed in another part of Shas. I'd be interested to see what the language is there.
I don't know. You have to see. The best place to look is in the sugya of Dvarim Shebichsav. But if you don't mind, Rabbi, say this: the punchline of everything that I wanted to present to you is in the next line, and he says the following. What was the Basco accusing Yonasan ben Uziel of doing, of violating? Listen carefully. Shegila upiresh esatora lifnei anoshim pshutim she'enem ruyim l'kav. Now listen carefully. Herein lies the difference between Chagai Zecharia Malachi, who the original metargamim, if you go back to the source of the Nevi'im, and Yonas ben Uzzi. Because Chagai Zecharia Malachi was Torah Shebal Peh, and they knew who to target, which audience to target. They selectively chose certain bodies of Torah, as Osher said, is for everybody, and even the Pshutei Am, even simple people, but other parts of the Torah were meant to be given transmitted to only select people who were on a level that they could know how to deal with it. And this is a Gemara in Chagiga about Arba Nichnasu Lepardes. You remember that whole Gemara there? And Elisha Ben Avuya and so forth and so on. That certain things, if you reveal them to the wrong people, they misuse them. And they abuse those bodies of knowledge. So there are both sides. There are basically two approaches to our sugya. What was the battle here against the objection against Yonas and Ben Uziel? And then we'll have to ask why didn't, that's going to be the next one, why didn't they object against Unkelus? One approach is to say that as long as Chagai Zecharia Malachi were offering us a targum on the Nevi'im, that was always Torah Shebal Peh, and that was handed down orally. The turning point was many centuries later when Yonas ben Uziel took that body of knowledge and committed it to writing. And that you're not allowed to do. And that's what we're objecting about. And then we have to get to Eislas HaSoshim. The other approach to Asugi is to say that the objection against Yonas ben Uziel committing the Targum to writing is because then it became accessible to everyone, even to Pshutei Ha'am, who would take certain Sodos of Torah that were meant to be given over to the select few. And what happened when Arba Nichnasu Lepardes, the only one who came out normal was Rabbi Akiva. In other words, in 3 out of 4 cases we really messed up because we, and they were even great scholars, how much more so Pshutei Am, so the Sodas HaTorah, that's why the Art Scrolls Ramban al HaTorah really translates about, my guess is about 70% of the Ramban. What happened to the other 30%? So if you take a look in the footnote, and it says it over and over again, almost every page of the Ramban, I'm exaggerating, but it says this is beyond the scope of our elucidation of the Ramban. Meaning that as soon as the Ramban reveals the secrets of the Torah, Art Scroll lifts up their hands. Right, so then you're going to have to say B'nai Adam means you're rank and file citizen. He's not capable of fathoming these secrets. So now, what does Yonas and Ben-Uziel do when this Paschal starts screaming at him and scolding him? Does he take it sitting down? Oh no. Omad Yonasan ben Uziel al-Raglov. Now there are two ways of learning Omad Yonasan ben Uziel al-Raglov. One is to, we'll get back to Arba Meos Parsal, Arba Meos Parsal, I skipped that, right? One is to say that he stood there in a state of humility. It's interesting that when you're in front of the master, you don't sit down and recline in your chair like we do on Leil HaSeder. That's a chutz v'nerah. But you stand up. The other way is to say it, just the opposite, that he stood up to defend himself. Out of a sense of bold and brazen argument, V'yomer, he declared, "Anihu shegilisi sisarcha sisarecha lifnei Adam." I'm the one. I'm going to take the rap for it. I'm not embarrassed about the fact that I did this. Why? Because Golui v'yadula from Ephesus, Almighty God, you know, shalolucho diasisi. It wasn't that I, you know, sometimes you share your knowledge. It's a little bit of cover. You know, I know so much, right? The lolucho beis avo, and it wasn't because, you know, I'm setting up a pedigree, you know, for my a pedigree for my family. I did it for your honor. Shalo yirgu machlokes b'Yisrael. Okay, now what shalo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael? So first of all, before we even move from the spot, I want to point out that he quotes the Sifsei Chachamim. I don't think this is the same Sifsei Chachamim as the one who wrote a commentary on Rashi al Torah. So I'll do a little bit more research on that. But the Sifsei Chachamim says that this four-word phrase, "Shalo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael," is a reflection, is an expression of Ace La Sos La Shem Eferu Sorsa. That's basically the thrust of what Jonas Amenuzzi is saying. And if we come right back to Rebbe, who later in history is going to translate, is going to commit the Mishnayos to writing, because Ace La Sos La Shem. Now, why is this Ace La Sos La Shem? What's the pressing need to translate the Nevi'im? And the answer is Shalom Yirbu Machlokes B'Yisrael. So he says here, in the name of the Marsha, that what's the issue of Shalom Yirbu Machlokes B'Yisrael? Now the truth of the matter is, I'm very perplexed by this Gemara. Because I asked myself the question, where is this phrase appear? Now, if I had a computer, I would do a word search. So I don't have a computer. But what I do remember is, in the sugya of Elin HaNechnokim, which is the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, which is the sugya of Zokei Zamrei, the Gemara says, why do we put the Zokei Zamrei to death? What is so terrible about this violation? So word for word, the same Gemara. That I understand. Because imagine, if a man sits on a Bezdin, right, he's a member of the High Court, and he decides, you know, all of law is built on what we call the dissenting opinion, because the dissenting opinion is very important. Later on in history, they accepted dissenting opinion, very often, not always. But in halacha, there has to be a final psak ha'rah. And if the Zokei Zamrei is allowed to go out and be mora ha'rah based on his understanding, the entire enterprise of Sanhedrin is going to fall apart. And there will be no Mesoris of Torah. At the Rambam, in his introduction, Hilchos Mamre, he speaks about the Sanhedrin and Gedolah. They were in charge of the Mesoris of Torah. And the Zokei Zamrei is coming to undermine that status. But when you talk about Nevi'im, give me a break. Like, what's in Nevi'im? I mean, again, my friend Johnny goes to a shiur in Nevi'im, you know, and it's very important to learn Nevi'im. I don't misunderstand. But how many halachos do we learn from the Nevi'im? Basically zero, because ain't no Rashalim Chavishdom Me'ata, right? That's what we spoke about. So what's the Shloyim Machlokas Yisra? And I come to the following conclusion, which is very tentative, and hopefully somebody will say something about this, if you can take a look in the footnotes, that maybe when there are two ways of interpreting the Navi, regardless of the fact that it's irrelevant to halacha, that's going to create machlokas. And that machlokas might touch on a very sensitive issue of how to understand hashgacha pratis, the development of history, and how to understand the divinity itself. Because the Nevi'im are the ones who teach us about God.
And distort it. So,
right. And if in the Jewish religion there's going to be two opinions about how to understand the Nevi'im, it's going to create machlokas. Not machlokas in the same sense as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the whole enterprise of deciding halacha, what we call hara, is going to fall apart. But how to understand hashkafas haTorah? How to understand morality?
Which could even be more important than halacha.
So I just want to know, you guys have various translations, so could somebody tell me if what does he say?
It says, since the interpretations of many verses are unclear,
it's
citing Rashi. He clarified them in order to prevent dissension among those trying to clarify.
That's Rashi, but yeah, I was hoping to go a little bit beyond that.
I mean, well, you could see, because the proving wasn't done, and what we have seen is with the whole thing of Mashiach, because we've had a lot of false people come saying that they're Mashiach, which is a form of dissension. I mean, that's, you know, it causes a lot of problems. It's caused
maybe
a lot of trouble for us over time with it. So dissension on the meaning of
Now, what about Ksuvim? You know, so far we have Uncleus giving us a targum on Torah. We have Jonas Menuzzi offering us a targum on the Nevi'im. Where did Ksuvim fall between the cracks? So it says the following: the old Bikesh Yonas Menuzil Legalos Targum Shel Ksuvim. He's doing good stuff, right? He defends himself. He might as well interpret Ksuvim. Here's where you have the Rabbeinu Kanal that Osher was referring to before. Yotza Baskal Biyomalo Dayecha. Don't cross the red line. You know, we let you get away with whatever you got away with, but I mean, one evil doesn't deserve a worse evil. My time mission to Ispe Kate's Mashiach. So what's in Ksuvim is encoded the secrets of Mashiach.
The Sefer Daniel.
Okay. So fact the Gemara. V'targum shel Torah Unkelus Hagera Moro. That's not really true. Way before Unkelus, we had already a targum of the Torah. V'omar Rav Ika Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Chananel, Omar Rav. My dichsiv. Now keep in mind, we're going back to the period of time between the first Churban and the building of the second Bais, and we're quoting a pasuk in Nehemiah. This is referring to Aliyah Shnia, meaning when the Olei Bavel came to settle in Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the pasuk in Tanakh testifies to the fact that there was a public reading of the Sefer Torah. Okay, the lot of dinim that we learned from that parasha in Nehemiah. Does he tell you which parak it is here in the Torah? A lot of dinim of Kriyas HaTorah, which we're going to come to in Mirtz Hashem, the end of the second year. We're always going to come back to these psukim. So it says, Vayikru b'sefer b'sefer b'torah salokim miforash. So it sounds like there was a pirush on the Sefer Torah Salokim. It wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient that they publicly read the Sefer Torah, but they also interpreted the Sefer Torah. V'som sechel, and they gave some sort of understanding. Vayavinu b'mikra, so that they can understand the mikra. And now the Gemara is going to dash at every single word in this post. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Salokim zeh mikra. So number one, they read the Torah publicly in its original Lashon Kodesh, and they read Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's number one. Then it says Meforosh zeh targum. Meforosh means to give you a translation of the words. Okay, so already at the time of Ezra, they had targum. And by the way, to this day there are communities, very few, amongst the Yemenites there are few Yemenites that still have targum. And that's based on this takon of Ezra, that Ezra said it's not enough to read the Torah publicly, the way Ashkenazim do it, right? But you have to add targum. You have to integrate Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. Meforash, Zetar. V'som Sochel, that's a sort of ambiguous phrase. Elu Hapsukim. So he says Sechel means to create a hefsek, we would call it. In other words, you know, you look at the Sefer Torah, you don't know where to put the Sof Pasuk, right? So that's also part of Torah Shabbat Peh, that you should know where the Pasuk ends. And then Vayavinu Bamikra. So I would have said Vayavinu Bamikra is just describing the goal, the totza'ah, how do you say it in English, the outcome of all this. But the Gemara dashes that even Vayavinu Bamikra is adding another part to the actual public reading of the Torah, and that is Elu Piskei Ta'amin. It's what we call trup in Yiddish, right? The Tamei Amikra. Now, it seems clear from this Gemara, and it's not a chiddush really to say this, that Tamei HaMikra also impacts on your understanding of the Pesukim. And the one who really makes a big deal about this is the Vilna Gaon. You know, the Vilna Gaon has so many chiddushim, so many insights based on the Tamei HaMikra. Right, in the Gilas Esther, maybe we'll get to it. I thought you meant Esther, Bas Avichai, but it's interesting, he quotes again the same thing, Sifsei Chachamim. Listen to what he says. He says, Al Yedea Nigun, Yecholim Lahavin Tovio says, Pirish Apostle. I don't know what he means by Nigun here. Usually the word Nigun means the sword. So maybe.
It's a trap.
Yeah, no, I always understood that trap meant not the nigun so much. You know, so what enhances your understanding of the psukim is not the nigun, you know, in a musical sense, if you'd write it into notes, but rather the way that you emphasize certain words and de-emphasize them. I wouldn't call that nigun, you know.
Trust me, you stop. How you stop?
Right. I'm just saying, yeah, you use the word nigun. To me, that was an eye-opener. You know, that's the nigun. By the way, Rav Osa, you know, I have a very good friend by the name of Rabbi Yitzhak Shurin. I don't know if you know him. Anyway, he's a grandson of Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he told me something that he heard from his grandfather that boggles my mind. Yaakov said that he understands the laws and regulations of Tamei HaMikra. Give him any pasuk and he'll tell you what the Tamei HaMikra is. Not because he knows it by rote. That there are actual rules, and once you learn those rules, you will be able to know where to put the revi, and where you put this, and where you put that. That's pretty way out. I'm just telling you what I heard from my friend. The Amri Lay, others say that what's by Yavinu Bamikra, have a great day, Jerry. Eilu HaMesores. Okay, so what's Mesores? Mesores is what we call Yeseros and Haseros. You know, when you add the vav, you take out the vav. And that's also part of the understanding of the Torah. Because you can understand the Torah the proper way if you know where the word is written, Chaser, or yes, Chaser, or yes. In any event, it's very clear from this drasha that it was Ezra who translated the Torah. So how can you tell me, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that Unkelus was the one who was mitagin the Torah, Mipi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, which is going to be 400 years later? But that's the problem. So the Gemara gives the following answer. This is very similar to the sugya that we did yesterday about the Nevi'im who Mansapat, right? So the Gemara says, yeah, Ezra was the one who was mitagin the Torah, Ushachachum, but the Targum of the Torah was forgotten. V'chazru, and then Unkelus, based on what he heard from his rebbeim, Rabbi Lezer of Yeshua, Yistu, Chazru v'Yistu. You know why the word Chazru is in plural? Right, it's just a Chazru v'Yistu, because we're not only referring to Unkelus, because again, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that Unkelus got it mipi, Rabbi Eliezer of Yeshua. All three of them were the ones.
How much of the Targum is Unkelus and Yerushalmi ben Uziel, and how much of the Targum is what they learned from that was passed down to them? In other words, how much is...
So that really depends, Eric, how you understand Mesorah. What do I mean? I'll give you a Beispiel, I'll give you a mushal, a simile. Rav Chaim Brisker had a Talmud Mufak. His name is Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich. And they say that when Rav Baruch Ber would pass on the Torah that he heard from his Rebbe, it was exactly in the same inflections. And that he even would pick up his pants exactly where Rav Chaim picked up his pants. Now, is there such a halacha that you have to do so? I don't think so. But I only tell you this story to illustrate what Mesoras HaTorah means. Again, there's always a problem machlokas, and all of what we do is about machlokas, right? That's what Shas is all about. That's why it's so exciting, and that's because somehow the Mesoras didn't work in the ideal way. But the ideal Mesoras is to give over exactly what you heard from your Rebbe. And the Gemara says about Rabbi Loza, I think it was Rabbi Loza, that he never passed on anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. The one who wrote a beautiful essay, if you ever have a chance, is Rav Herschel Schechter in his book called Nefesh HaRa. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I don't think it's been translated into English. Somebody should do so. And based on what he heard from Rav Salvechik, he has a 20-page essay on the Mesoras HaTorah. What is Mesoras? And the real issue is, how do you justify, how do you integrate Mesoras with what's called Chibur? If Mesoras means I only pass on what I heard from my Rebbeinu, so there shouldn't be any room for creative thought. And that's what that essay is all about. Fascinating essay. So I'm not sure if, Eric, I have a clear answer to your question, but... Now, why was the land shaking for 400 amos. So I don't know if you have any notes on that. I have a note that Tosus and Bava Metzia claims that the entire Shetach, the whole area, the surface area of Eretz Yisrael, is 400 amo, 400 parsa on 400 parsa. And a parsa is 4 mil. So if you multiply 400 times 4, you get 1600. And a mil itself is alpayim amo. So now we take that number, multiply it by 2,000, and then you get how many amos is Eretz Yisrael. I wish I had the ability to research this, because this would be fascinating. I wonder which areas in Eretz Yisrael and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael included in Arba Mil's Paris and Arba Mil's Paris.
It's like 600 miles by 600 miles.
So I don't know. Does that include parts of Lebanon, or I don't know.
That's probably like maybe that's like the greater one going from the Nile to the Euphrates.
Right. Kinikizu the Kanani. He says Kevin Shekosav Hatargu. He says once the Targum was committed to writing, Nizdazeh Ha'olam. And why Nizdazeh Ha'olam? He says because the Mishnah says Al Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed. So the whole universe stands on three things. One of them is the Torah, and the Torah has to be given and transmitted in a certain way. By violating this transmission, the whole Olam, the whole earth, shook. So again, we have two interpretations of how to understand Avramel's parcel, Avramel's parcel. According to Tosus later on in Bava Metzia, what it means is that the entire Shetach Vertzil shook. According to the second interpretation, which is a Sifsei Chachamim, he's saying the entire world shook. So then Avramel's parcel is not to be taken literally, I guess, or maybe it means how much, how far it shook, you know, from east to west or so. What does he say?
Some comment here.
Okay. He says, Chaya Shekosav, he doesn't tell you who it is, Sheremesu Shekol Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, His Rab Lalkach. That all the giants of Israel, the scholars of Israel, were all up in arms. I don't know how you see that in Avraham's parson. He says, why? What's so upsetting about this? So he offers one shot that Ein zemin ha-ra'ui legalos davar v'atora kisisa oso. That was what I think Usher was referring to before. Or because Targum, in a certain sense, simplified and made the Torah a little bit more superfluous. You know, it's a very interesting argument against Artscroll. You know, Artscroll in its original form, if you take a look in Brachos, there's a whole introduction. It was a big debate whether to publish Artscroll for many reasons. First of all, the Goyim, this, that, and the other thing. But one of the things is it really makes the Gemara very superficial. So that's why they wrote the footnote. But he has here a third explanation, and he says that Shemi Yevatlu Milimud HaTorah, instead of going back to the original source, the Torah, and racking your brains, what does the Torah mean, and being medayik in every nuance of every word, and so forth and so on, you're just going to read the Targum, and it's in your vernacular, and that's, you oversimplify the original. And then, of course, the Pnei Yoshua, as we said before, because Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yat HaRashay La'omram, La'orim B'Ksav. But Targum Shel Ksuvim, he says, that's a little bit less of a problem, Targum, but the issue is Ketz HaMashiach. And the Ketz HaMashiach is in Sefer Daniel, and there are all sorts of Ramazim in Sefer Daniel. The Rashba says there are other books of Tanakh, other books of Ksuvim, that reveal the Ketz HaMashiach, and that's Shir HaShirim. Okay, let's just see where we're stopping today. So again, what we're left with here is a pella about Unkelus. You know, according to the Pnei Yoshua, that the problem is committing Torah Shebal Peh to writing, and then the Gemara should have Right, that's the next line in the Gemara. Maybe we'll have one more line. Maishna do Raisa, the lowest Dasa. We don't find that the world shook when Unkelus translated the Torah into Aramaic and committed that to writing. But when it comes to the Targum of Torah, which goes back to Ezra, I'm sorry. As far as Ezra is concerned, right, the Targum of the Torah, which later was codified by Unkelus, that we don't find any such radical response. But the but when it comes to the Targum of the Nevi'im, is Dazon. And on both sides, the next Gemara, which we want to do tomorrow, is going to really be very fundamental. The Gemara now is going to enter into the question of how to define Torah Shebichsav. Could Targum be considered part of Torah Shebichsav, or it's a whole new Torah called Torah Shebal Peh? And the Gemara is going to say that Targum of Torah Shebichsav, which is called Ezra and later on Unkelus, that's part of Torah Shebichsav. That's an extension of Torah Shebichsav. But Nevi'im, the discrepancy, the gap between the written word of the Navi and the interpretation and the elucidation of the Divine Nevi'im, that's a wide gap. That's a distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebichsav. So B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll finish the Agadita so that we can get back on track to Masechta Megillah. But I didn't want to skip it because I want to be able to see him. Everyone should have a great